This is Digital Story Podcast number 770, December 22nd, 2020. Today's theme is using your smartphone with your digital camera, not instead of it. I'm Derek Story. There's been so much talk about how smartphones will replace our digital cameras, but I think for nimble photographers, that's the wrong approach. Instead, let's explore how we can use smartphones with our digital cameras instead of replacing them. I'll share one scenario today with a Fujifilm X100V and an iPhone 12 Pro Max, although there are many combinations that will work great for both iOS and Android, and of course on the digital camera side as well. I hope you enjoy the show. There are certainly situations when I want my digital camera with all its tools and conveniences, and then other situations when my smartphone will work just fine. But to tell you the truth, the best scenario is having both with me, and that's what I want to explore today. Now, on the digital camera side, what I've discovered is that if I go with smaller, more compact cameras, which shouldn't be a shock to you, right? The Fujifilm X100V, the Olympus Pen F, the Fujifilm XF10 with the 28mm f2.8 lens, those kinds of cameras that I absolutely love shooting with, but I don't want to carry all the accessories and everything. You know, that's a funny thing about digital photography. You can start out with a relatively compact camera and then maybe a compact lens. And then you start packing your bag and go, well, I really should bring this and I really should bring that. I need a longer lens. I need a wider lens. I probably should have a flash, you know, all that kind of stuff. Maybe I should bring my iPad. Maybe I should bring, you know, my laptop. Maybe I should bring all this stuff. And the next thing you know, even though you started out with a relatively compact camera, you ended up with a relatively large camera kit. And if you're just going out the door for a walk, you're going to maybe, you know, go visit a local park. If you're going to do something like that, do you really need to bring all that stuff with you? Well, I mean, at the end of the day, that's a question that only you can answer. However, I'm going to pose an approach that maybe you'll want to think about that is a very nice alternative to starting out with a small camera and ending up with a big kit. Now, the idea that I'm going to present to you today is taking one of your favorite Micro Four Thirds or APS-C cameras that you truly like, and it could be a relatively compact full-frame mirrorless as well, especially if it had a lens on it that was reasonable in size, and then augmenting it with a smartphone, and especially one of the more current smartphones made by, you know, all the heavy hitters, but especially smartphones that have at least two cameras, you know, two lenses, and ideally three cameras or three lenses. Now, the idea being that that smartphone can fill in the gaps that normally you would be stuffing stuff into your camera bag to fulfill. And then you get to pick a camera that you truly like with a lens that you absolutely love, but are not worried about being limited by just having that one camera and that one lens with you. You know, you have like your favorite thing to shoot with. You just go, I love shooting with this camera. I love this lens. And then you have your sophisticated smartphone in your other pocket that will allow you to leave everything else behind. Just your favorite camera, just your smartphone, and see how far you can go. Well, the fact of the matter is, through my testing, you can go pretty far. So what I'm going to do right now is, first I'm going to start out with listing some of the benefits of digital cameras. These are the things that I like about a digital camera. This is why I will not give up a digital camera, right? And then I'm going to list some of the advantages of smartphones because they have many advantages as well. And then what I'm going to do is for the third list, I'm going to combine the two and say, This is the advantage of using both of these devices. Alrighty, so that is going to be the flow of this show. So let's start out with the list of benefits for digital cameras. And for me, there are many. The first thing that I like is that they typically have great viewfinders that are so nice in so many different situations. And of course, bright sunlight being at the top of the list. So if I can look through a very nice electronic viewfinder or a very nice optical viewfinder and compose a shot in really contrasty, bright conditions, I like that better than having to compose off the LCD. Now, there are times when I love composing off an LCD in lower light, when I want different angles, all that kind of stuff. And even then, I think digital cameras often have an advantage because they have an articulated or a tilting LCD so that you can have the lens at one angle and the LCD at another angle. You can't do that with your iPhone. It's, you know, whatever angle you're putting your lens at, that's the angle that the viewfinder is. So if it's up over your head shooting down on something, right, then you're not going to have a very good look at that viewfinder unless you do something tricky. Alrighty. So digital cameras are really great when it comes to viewfinders. You have a lot of options and they work well in just about any lighting conditions. Another thing that I like is that camera companies have years of color technology under their belt and sometimes some very unique knowledge. For example, and one of my favorite examples are Fuji's film simulation. They take all that knowledge they have from making film for all those years, Provia, Velvia, you know, all of those emulsions, and they give us film simulations with that color science built in so that we can shoot with that. Now, I dig shooting with my iPhone, but when I go to filters on my iPhone, it's abysmal. It really is. I do not like the filters at all. They seem very basic to me, and especially compared to what I can get with my digital camera. And that also includes my Olympus Pen F that has some beautiful stuff in it, okay? Years of color science really applied in a very sophisticated way, definitely a plus for digital cameras. Larger sensors make it easier to control depth of field. I was looking at some shots that I took on Sunday morning with the iPhone 12, and I just noticed the extreme depth of field that they had. You know, it's just like trees way off in the background were sharp. Well, sometimes I want that, but sometimes I do not. And I just think it's easier to control depth of field for a larger variety of shots, not just portraits, with a camera that has a little larger sensor and the lens designed for, you know, different types of applications, you know, whether it be portraits or landscape or macro, whatever it happens to be. So I like that advantage. Also, I would say another plus with digital cameras is it's nice not to have your photo shoot interrupted by a text message or a phone call, right? When you're using one device for everything, you're using one device for everything. And so there you are, you're in the, oh God, it's just right. Then ring, 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 right? You're getting a phone call while you're ready to capture the decisive moment. Digital cameras don't bug us that way. They're all about taking pictures and nothing else. Now they also have more megapixels, generally speaking, and larger photo sites. That does come in handy in certain situations. I'm going to talk about computational photography for smartphones. And so, yes, low light, they can hang with the best of them because of computational photography. But larger photo sites and more megapixels comes in handy for a variety of situations, not just low light. Many digital cameras are quite beautiful and inspiring to use. Again, my Olympus Pen F, the Fujifilm X100V. I get inspired when I shoot with these. I want to hold them. I want to go take pictures. I don't have that same sort of inspiration with my smartphone. I love it. It's great. But I don't look at it and go, man, I got to go take some pictures with this bad boy. Right? That doesn't happen. It's more utilitarian than that. Pentax X100V and your favorite camera are inspiring. They make us want to go shoot. And then finally, the option of interchangeable lenses help us meet a variety of photo opportunities. So if I'm shooting with a Pentax, one day I might want to go out with a 17mm f1.8. The next day, I may want to go out with a 45mm f1.8. Neither one of them take up a whole lot of room, relatively compact, but it kind of sets the tone for how I'm going to shoot that day. So it's nice having that option of putting whatever I want on the camera. Now with the X100V, it's not that. It's the 35mm f2, and that's the way she wrote. Okay, that's great too. I could also take the XF10 with the 28mm if I want to go that route. I just like having those different options. So digital cameras, when you start listing it out, they have a lot of pluses. Smartphones, of course, have their advantages too. First of all, they are ultra compact, right? I mean, we typically have one of these in our pocket at all times. That's a plus. They tend to be more adept at computational photography, helping us overcome technical challenges. And computational photography definitely has its place in our shooting. There are times when you don't have time to figure out all the right settings and everything. You just want to get the shot. It's happening now and you want to shoot it now. That's where smartphones really shine, because they put all that processing power behind what you're doing, and chances are you will come away with a pretty good shot. Cellular and Wi-Fi connectivity are wildly useful in smartphones. So not only can you capture, you can also share, and you have all these other communication options. Along with that, mobile imaging apps that we can run on these devices are quite powerful and have become more useful as screens have grown larger. So you have Lightroom on your phone. You have Photos for iOS on your phone. You have all these cool apps on the phone right there in the field or wherever you happen to be. Smartphones are ubiquitous and they don't attract unwanted attention in sensitive situations. So if you're in a street photography situation, you really want the shot, maybe you leave your digital camera in its pouch, pull out your smartphone and take the shot that way, because people don't seem to care when you're shooting with a smartphone, unless it's really a sensitive situation. And then, of course, you have to use common sense. But I get into trouble far less, or I wouldn't say trouble. I have far fewer conversations about my photography when I'm shooting with a smartphone as compared to my digital camera. Now, smartphones these days can house up to 3 prime lenses in a single device. So that's very versatile. So instead of having 3 lenses you have to put into a camera bag and bring them around, you can just have one smartphone that fits in your pocket with 3 distinct prime lenses on them. That's pretty cool. And then, of course, smartphones can provide an instant cloud backup of your images. That is really helpful. It's super helpful. And if something happens, if you lose your device, then you don't lose your images. And that's very comforting. So a lot of advantages there as well. Now, what if we take these 2 things, and this is really a chocolate and peanut butter situation here, and we combine a well-specified smartphone with one of our favorite nimble cameras? What are the benefits by doing that? Well, there are a few for sure. First of all, you don't have to carry extra lenses and accessories. So the iPhone 12 Pro Max, in my case, has a 26mm f1.6 prime, a 65mm f2.4 telephoto, and a 13mm f2.4 ultra-wide lens. So I don't have to carry any of those lenses with me. I have them in my smartphone. So if I combine that with, let's say, the 35mm f2 on the Fujifilm X100V, or the 34mm f1.8 prime on the Pentax, I have a full kit. I truly have cake and eat it as well. Now, when I say 34mm f1.8 on the Pentax, I mean the 17mm, right? I'm talking about effective focal lengths here. Another advantage to having both of them, I can process and upload images from anywhere. So I can connect, in my case, the iPhone with the X100V, and that gives me a powerful workstation in the field. You know, I can stream the images from one device to the other, do a little bit of editing, work on them, crop, whatever it happened to be, and then move those images on to the next place, wherever that happens to be, in the cloud, on a social network site, in a blog post, to a friend, wherever they need to go. But the whole thing can happen when I have both ends of this workflow. I have the camera, which I may or may not have taken the original shot with. And then I have the smartphone, which I may or may not have used it. But then I have the connectivity and the applications on the smartphone to go to the next step. And speaking of applications, smartphones are infinitely versatile when it comes to software that's immediately downloadable. So let's say that I want to do something different. I'm in the field, I have my camera, I have my smartphone, and I want to do some HDR, okay? I don't really like the way that my digital camera processes HDR in camera, but I know I can get this really cool app in the field for my smartphone that does a job that I like a little bit better. I download it, I do the HDR shoot, and then I'm off to the next thing. That is a nice option to have, and that's just one of many, many examples. Now, when you think about it, smartphones are high-value purchases when you compare them to comparable cameras. And, you know, smartphones do feel expensive, especially the high-end ones that we're interested in because of the better photography components. But, for example, the iPhone 12 Pro Max is about the same price as the Fujifilm X100V. They're comparable there. And even if you buy them both brand new right now, you have a complete kit for about $2,800. Now, you can spend that much on just one lens for a Nikon mirrorless full frame or a Sony or any of the other cameras out there. So I think when you really look at it in terms of what you get, smartphone plus favorite digital camera is actually a cost-effective way to go about your photography. And another thing is that the smartphones really allow me to shoot with cameras that I love despite their shortcomings, because the iPhone fills in, or the smartphone fills in, all those gaps. And again, we'll use, let's say, the Fujifilm camera. One of the shortcomings of this camera that I absolutely love shooting with is that it only has one lens on it, okay? So I can go out and shoot with just that 35 millimeter equivalent focal length because I know I have an ultra wide in my pocket, and I know I have a telephoto in my pocket, and I know that even the normal camera on the iPhone is a little bit wider than that 35 millimeter. So I have all these sort of options with me, which allow me then say, okay, I'm fine with just going out with this fixed lens camera, because if something happens that requires me to, you know, use a different focal length or something else, then I can depend on the iPhone to do that, or I can depend on my smartphone to do that. And I can shoot in RAW with my smart device and really get a lot of image quality out of that, you know, auxiliary piece of equipment. Digital cameras give me high resolution. Smartphones provide broad versatility. And if you think about putting these two devices together, it's really a compelling argument for nimble photography. When I walk out the door, I can configure my digital camera any way that I want, whatever mood I'm in that day. And I don't have to be worrying about, well, what if I run into this or what if I run into that? Because if I do, then I pull the smartphone out of my pocket and I tackle that problem with that device, and I get to use the digital camera for everything else. And I just love that idea. I love this approach to photography. This is a dynamic duel that, now that I've really kind of gotten a feel for it, I don't want to split it up. And I was thinking, well, maybe you'd be interested in this concept as well. I hope you found this fascinating, and let me know what you think. I'm going to post this on our Facebook page, and you can comment And I would really like to hear some of the combinations that you come up with in terms of mobile device and digital camera. New workshop, integrating iPhone into a pro photography workflow. This is going to be the hands-on detail part of what I was just talking about in the first segment. In other words, how do we best shoot RAW with an iPhone? How do we integrate Apple ProRAW into a photography workflow that complements our digital camera? When do we reach for the digital camera? When do we reach for the iPhone? So let me give you some of the bullet points from this event that's coming up at the beginning of February, and then we're going to have the grand finale at the end of February. Here's some of the bullet points. Working with just one digital camera and an iPhone, like we've been talking about. Taking advantage of a versatile fast prime lens on your digital camera and using the iPhone for additional focal lengths. Perfecting a RAW workflow for the iPhone, and that is either with an iPhone 10, iPhone 11, iPhone 12, or 12 Pro with Apple Pro RAW. You know, we'll talk about all those different options. But we're really going to dig into leveraging Apple Pro RAW for those that have an iPhone 12 Pro. Building a kit that allows you to travel lighter without compromising capability. Post-processing tips and techniques using photos on a Mac, iPad, and iPhone. Investigating other software and workflows to augment your imaging prowess. This is going to be so fun, I'm telling you. Yeah, we're going to have a blast. And we're going to do it the way that I've been doing the online workshops, in that we're going to have little check-ins along the way. We're going to have photo assignments for you to work on. You're going to have access to Derek Story Online, you know, our online headquarters for all of our workshops, where you can ask questions, where I post tutorials, where you can post pictures and get feedback on while you're working on, you know, your presentation. We're going to have all that stuff. And then we're going to have a final day where we share the images from the work that we've done over the preceding weeks and really talk about, here's what I did, here's what I tried to do, here's how it turned out, here's how I did it, and we can learn from each other and really appreciate the images that we can create with these devices. It's going to be terrific, it really is. Only 10 seats available, first come, first serve. You can register now for $135. The link is in the show notes, or you can just go to thenimblephotographer.com and you'll see it right up there at the top. You can click on that link. That'll take you to the workshop page that goes into the details, and you can register there. Patreon members receive a $15 discount for this event, and there is a note on our Inner Circle page with the discount code for you Patreon members. So you can use that, then go over to the Nimble Photographer, register, use a discount code, and get it at a reduced price. Now, I recommend for this workshop an iPhone 10 or newer and a Mac running Mac OS Catalina or Big Sur. If we have those devices that are, you know, of that capability, we can really do stuff. In terms of the digital camera that you're going to have to complement all this, it can be anything that you want. You know, the principles will work with practically any camera. And we are going to really dig down into this workflow. We're going to perfect it, and we're going to come up with something that is so nimble and so powerful, you won't be able to contain yourself, and you want to go out and shoot right away and as often as possible. Tips for shooting holiday lights with iPhone. And you can read the entire article on petapixel.com. I have the link there. This is a good article that really talks about some techniques that allow you just to go out, take a nice walk if you happen to be in an urban environment where you can appreciate Christmas lights or holiday lights, Hanukkah lighting, whatever it happens to be. Just let you appreciate it and capture it while still, you know, just being in the moment. You know, that's a great combination. Let me read you the first couple paragraphs from this article, and then you can go check out the pictures and the specific techniques yourself. They are pretty good. The holidays in New York City are my favorite part of the year. It's such a magical and festive time all through the city. You'll find holiday trees, light displays, and the prettiest decorations around every corner. It's such a joy to take photos in New York City during this time, and I'm excited to share with you some of my favorite tips for capturing beautiful and creative photos of holiday decorations. The best part is you don't need fancy, heavy, or expensive photo gear. Just take out your iPhone and start snapping. Whether you're a professional photographer or someone who just loves taking photos, I have found that my iPhone 12 Pro Max offers that versatility to meet whatever level you're at. And then he goes on and gets into the techniques themselves. And there's a lot of useful stuff. You don't need to have an iPhone 12 Pro Max to take advantage of most things that he's talking about. However, you will want a smartphone that's been released in the last few years so that you can really engage in the techniques that he's talking about. Fun article, good tips, and I agree, holiday lights are fun to photograph. Okay, I'm going to take care of just a little virtual camera club business. First of all, start out with our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support our community and support this podcast month in and month out. Inner Circle members, I just posted a few days ago a roll-up of all the benefits other than supporting this show. Or I should say, in addition to supporting this show. I posted that on the Patreon site, so if you haven't seen it yet, make sure you go there. It's got the links, it's got the passwords, it's got everything to all the stuff that I've created especially for you this past year. And then also, Patreon members, if you go over there, the latest post has to do with this new workshop, shooting with an iPhone and digital camera, and the discount code is there. So if you're interested in the workshop, then you might want to go over there and get that discount code before you register. A big thanks to all of our Inner Circle members. I really appreciate your support in 2020, and I hope that you all continue to help us flourish into the new year. And if you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story. I should mention that I have affiliate links and advertising tiles all throughout The Digital Story site. So I have tiles in the second column for both Amazon and B&H Photo. If you're going to purchase something there, especially photography related, especially if it's something we've talked about, I would appreciate it if you go to that tile first, click on it, and then do your shopping. That helps support the site. And then also note that the links that I put in articles to those sites are usually affiliate links, and those also help support the site. I appreciate you taking the extra step. It does add up. It's very helpful. And finally, a huge shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. They are the folks that live, breathe, sleep, eat. I don't know if you can drink inkjet printing. Sounds dangerous, but if you could, they would. They are the longest running sponsor of The Digital Story. They have a terrific site at Red River Paper. You just click on the tiles on all the pages of The Digital Story. They have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And they are so helpful when it comes to inkjet printing. They have so many things that, you know, even as long as I've been printing, even as much as I love printing, sometimes I just wander through their site and I find something new and I go, oh my gosh, I never thought of that. That looks so fun. I want to give that a try. And it doesn't really matter what kind of inkjet printer you have. If it prints a decent snapshot, you can make wonderful things. Just go over to Red River Paper, see everything they have to offer, read the reviews, check out the tutorials, get excited about printing, and make something beautiful that you can hand to another person. You'll feel like an artist. And a huge thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this show. Right, it's going to do it for me this week. I'm so glad you stopped by and joined me. For those of you who celebrate the holidays, I hope you have a great holiday. Come back and see me next week. I'll be here. Until then, stay safe, be creative. Bye-bye now.